Good morning.
Good morning, Rob. How are you?
Hey, Rob.
Good. Good morning.
We
How are
got
you
some
guys?
exciting stuff. We got some exciting stuff for you.
I'm ready for exciting stuff.
So, as you know, last Friday was our event.
Yes.
And you know what? We did it last year and we thought it was amazing. I think we exceeded it this year, and I know we exceeded it. First of all, things have to fall in place. And obviously, when
Yep.
you're doing it on grass, the weather has to cooperate, and we had a great day of weather again. We had a great turnout. So we'll tell you a little bit about it, but we were thinking about this, and if you remember when we started this a year ago, you're the one who kept us pushing us through to make it happen, and we did it last year, and it was just such a great event. So the best thing we did this year is obviously we played, we had fun, and then afterwards in the dinner, we had Sam do a testimonial.
Wow.
So I called him a couple days before and I asked him, I said, "Hey Sam, we're doing this." I said, and we just, he said, "Absolutely, Rick, no problem." So we're at the dinner. We do some, pleasantries. I talk a little bit and then, I just introduce him. And it was so funny because this group now has become, just come together. And so Sam was sitting at the head of the table. I was sitting at the head of the opposite end of the table. One of the guys right next to Sam then started getting on his, "Sam, what's that in front of you?" Sam was like writing notes down, and this other guy called him out on it. And we had such a laugh. But I think that never would have happened if this group wasn't as close as it had already become. And
Right.
so. Anyway, so Sam goes on and talks about how, tennis brought us together, but how he became, using us and how it's been with, with myself, with Dave, Emily, Margaret, all that stuff. And then the guy next to him, who we met last year and we've been, sort of talking to, and I have a meeting set up with him in July, and he just blurted out. He said, "Let me add something to that." He said,
Whoa.
"I've been talking to these guys, and I'm going to probably blow the surprise tonight, but we're going to give Rick all of our business too." Rick and
Oh,
Dave.
cut it out.
And then it just started to go. The whole table like opened up with just like back and forth thoughts and talk about things. It couldn't have, you couldn't have scripted that.
I'm kind of in shock.
Well, so are we, because and I'm giving you the credit for this because you're the one who said last year, let's see if we can do it instead of me just getting up there and talking. So I gave some stuff and just talked a little bit about how we got together, all this other good stuff. But then when Sam did that, and then but literally Tom was a guy who we invited last year for the first time. And he just, just again, fit in with this whole group like crazy. We've been talking a
So
little bit about it, but he blurted out.
where's Tom's relationship here? Was he
Tom
from Philly?
Beret, no, he's someone I know from Sea Colony.
Yeah.
And I
He's a
invited him.
DC Bethesda guy.
Yeah, he's a DC Bethesda guy. And he's also an executive search guy. And as it turns out, I think last we
Oh,
might have told you, but
he's the executive search guy. Are you kidding
right.
me? He's a center of influence.
Well, in last year, Sam's friend Clark from Boston also, when those two met, all of a sudden they found out that Clark knew was a very good friend, knew Tom's partner for 20 years, and they were and that just bonded those two together. And so we've had some, conversations over the last year. We helped them out at the end of the year with some tax issues and asked them, and anyway, and it just wasn't timely for them to get together. in the spring because of his schedules. And so we weren't sure where that was going, but he blurted it out. He goes, you know what? We really appreciate, you know, what, you know, these guys are doing for us. They've already done some things for us, and we're going to be moving our stuff over to Rec in July.
And you never knew it.
No.
That is
so,
the greatest story. You're going to make me write another book.
But that came just on the heels of Sam, you know, just telling his story a little bit about her relationship and things like that. And
so what did Sam actually say? Do you remember?
Dave, you're probably I think he started with the relationship that we had, and it came from tennis.
Yeah, he pretty much said, you know, they had established this relationship through tennis throughout the years, and you know, Rick was a friend that he, you know, that he grew to, you know, to trust, like, respect, etc. And then he's like, you know, and then I started moving from place to place, and I, you know, had some of my retirement money, and he's like, eventually I had accumulated enough where I didn't feel comfortable or I didn't have the time. So he kind of put it as like, you know, I didn't, the, you know, could I have tried to manage my stuff by myself? Maybe I could have, but that's not what I do, and I didn't have the time or interest to do it. And I knew Rick that, you know, Rick did that for a living, and he was in that business, and I liked him, and I trusted him, and, you know, so we started a professional relationship, and, you know, it's been tremendous, and we've, you know, our relationship has grown, and, you know, did a great job, and the team helps me with everything, and, you know, I've made a bunch of transitions, and I'm taking on this new CEO role, and they've helped me along the way.
Oh, yeah, we need to tell you that, Rob. We will tell you that in a minute.
Yeah, so there's a lot of different updates, but yeah, that, so we did this whole thing, and, you know, just and he had a little note card, and he was like kind of looking at his notes, and he said, you know, it's been great and wonderful, and we've had a great, you know, experience, and I consider Rick a part of my family, and blah 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 blah. So then everyone kind of did a little clap. Ooh. And then Tom, this the prospective client, Tom, who's sitting next to Sam, said, I'd just like to add something. He's like, well, you know, Rick and Dave, you know, they sat down with me and my wife late last year, they helped us with some tax planning, they reviewed some of our stuff, and, you know, they were really helpful, and, you know, I echo a lot of what Sam said, and they were, oh, the other thing they mentioned, both of them had mentioned, was, you know, Rick, you know, there's never a push to do business, it just kind of naturally happened, like Sam had said, you know, that Rick never, like, said, hey, Sam, let me help you with your investments or planning or anything like that. It was more of, like, Sam approached Rick to say, like, hey, can you help me? So Tom said the same thing. He's like, you know, they've never been pushy, and, you know, they helped us at the end of the year, and, you know, to ruin the surprise for you guys, you know, we're going to be down in Sea Colony 4th of July weekend, and we're going to meet with them, and we're going to be moving our stuff over to them.
Oh, my God. I've never heard such a great story.
Now I wouldn't say we expected it, but we have, you know, through communication with this couple, because remember we did, so Tom was at the event last year, and then we all went out to dinner together with him and his wife, and that was just kind of the introduction of, like, his wife asked us at dinner, like, you know, what do you guys even do? Like, what do you do for a living? Like, explain to me, like, what it is to be a financial, like, she didn't really understand it, and we kind of...
So what is wealth management? Yeah, what does a wealth manager mean?
Yeah, like, you're in wealth management, like, what is that? Like, tell me, like, explain to me what you guys do. This was last summer, literally a year ago, the wife had asked us that at dinner, and we talked a little bit about what we do, and then we had a couple phone conversations at the tail end of last year to help them with some tax planning. We said, you know, we'll just give you a second opinion. It's a free consultation, and we gave them some pretty good tax strategies at the end of last year, and they pretty much said, well, we're really busy in the spring, but we definitely want to sit down again with you guys just to kind of pick your brain some more and, like, you know, try to figure things out. And lucky for us, the timing worked. I believe their current advisor is retiring or has just retired, so they're in a transitional kind of phase, and that's when he told us at the dinner, you know, I'm gonna blow the surprise, but, you know, we're gonna be moving. You know, my wife and I are gonna be moving our stuff over to the team to manage our stuff too.
So, Rob,
Did you wait for the whole table to then go? And I'm moving my stuff too. And I'm moving my stuff.
Yeah, we started pointing at each person at the table. How about you? How about you?
But, you know, if we take it back, it was also because the Sea Colony event is right after our event. So last year, because I invited Tom, because I knew he had, you know, assets. He was a nice guy. He played tennis. He came to Philly, and then he went down to the beach, you know, because he has a place down there too. And but taking up your point, you were saying, like, pick a handful of people and, you know, invite them out for dinner so that we can make this, instead of trying to appeal to everybody at Sea Colony about what we do, cherry pick some people. So we cherry picked Tom. He ended up being our fourth. We played doubles with Sam Clark, Tom, and I, and then we rotated, and then we invited him and his wife for dinner. And, you know, it was really so four guys, his wife, he goes, you know, my wife sometimes feels a little weird about going out, you know, she'll be the only woman there and all that stuff. And we said, come on, Tom, we won't just talk tennis all night, you know, we'll make her. So he invited her. She ended up having the most wonderful time. The interaction the whole night was amazing. And Tom even told us this time, he says, you know, that dinner last year, his wife was named Margot, said, oh, my God, your tennis friends are so awesome. And that led to others. She wanted to meet other tennis friends.
Oh, that was the greatest comment, because she had never met any of Tom's friends that he played tennis with. And after going out to dinner with us last year, he goes, I swear to you guys, when he said, I'm not bullshitting you, she now wants to meet all of my tennis friends because she thought you guys were, like, so much fun and so cool. Now she wants to meet all my friends that I play tennis with.
Isn't that great?
So anyway, like I said, we weren't sure. We knew it was going to happen. I mean, we had a good chance of, you know, getting their money over here, but you know, you don't know until it happens. But we didn't push. And that came out unsolicited that night. And it's like, I couldn't have paid for I couldn't have scripted it in a better way.
I know I sound very specific on some of this stuff, but what tax advice did you exactly give them?
Well, they owned a lot of mutual funds. And they didn't have a lot of separate, you know, in their asset size, I guess, you know, is in the 5 to 10 million range, but they had a lot of mutual funds. And so we got that. And at the end of the year, you know, one of the things, and Dave is very good at this, you know, breaking down, looking at capital gain distributions and all the other stuff. Well, they were going to get capital gain distributions of, like, how much, Dave?
$200,000. Yeah. And Rick got that information. So Rick, over a beer or two with Tom last summer, around 4th of July, I think maybe it was, Rick, when you said, I talked to Tom, we at least got that introductory kind of investment type conversation, and Tom had mentioned he owns a lot of American funds, mutual funds, in non-retirement accounts, and, you know, he's got millions of dollars, you know, and so we had said to him, this is when we had said kind of last fall, like, hey, Tom, you know, if you could want to just send us, like, I don't know, does your guy do any kind of tax planning at the end of the year? And he said, well, not really. I've owned these funds forever, and, you know, we don't really do that much with them, and I've done well, but, you know, I don't do any kind of year-end tax planning. And we said, well, if you don't mind, send us over all the information of the funds you own and the cost basis, because there's an opportunity that as long as you meet certain deadlines, you can kind of sell out of some of these funds, rebalance out of some of these funds into more tax-efficient vehicles before they pay their large capital gains. So he sent us all his stuff, and we showed him, hey, Tom, you know, just to let you know, you're going to be, if you don't do anything before the end of the year, you're going to be hit with about $200,000 worth of capital gains from these funds, but there are tax lots within these individual mutual funds that you can sell before they pay their capital gains to avoid those capital gains. And you could rebalance them in, you know, whether it's ETFs or individual stocks, just more tax-efficient vehicles. And we had a couple conversations with them. We gave them, like, a little presentation, and they're like, guys, this is great. We're going to go through with all your recommendations. But they were doing the recommendations with their current advisors. So they then reached out to their advisors, gave them the instructions of which tax lots to sell of which funds that came directly from us, assuming that those advisors are probably like, oh, shit, they're getting advice from somebody else. But they did all the stuff we told them to do, and it saved them probably tens of thousands of dollars in taxes last year.
See, I never knew that. You could do that. You mean within the funds there were losses? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, because they've owned them for many years. So they actually had individual tax lots that were at that losses. Dave literally highlighted each one. Because they had a cost basis on their statement, so Dave went through and said, "Look, highlight all these tax lots, and it said, be specific, sell these tax lots. You can sell them all for losses.
So, yeah, Rob, when you've owned a mutual fund, like, you know, for 10 years, 20 years, the thing is that most people have dividend reinvest or capital gain reinvest on most of their mutual funds in non-retirement accounts. So every time you get a capital gain distribution or a dividend or any kind of income payment on any of these funds, you're reinvesting it at whatever the price is at that day. So this was an example of when in December, when between call it September and December when the market dropped, you know, we had some opportunities where we actually, they first gave us their sheet of all their mutual funds. They didn't break down each individual tax lot. It just showed, you know, your cost basis is $100,000, and now let's just say the fund's worth $500,000. So he goes, well, we can't do anything because we have a $400,000 gain. So he said, no, you still might be able to do something. So they asked their advisor to get the individual tax lots of every reinvested dividend or capital gain over the past 10 to 15 years. And then we literally went line item by line item, picking out every line where they had an actual tax loss on a specific lot. And we actually cut out, I believe it was around, I think they had about $3 to $3.5 million worth of the mutual funds. And I think we carved out about $600,000 worth of those. So maybe like 20% of the funds that each either had no gain, no realized or unrealized gain, or had a slight loss. And then we were able to carve that out before the mutual funds that all announced, they pre-announced when they're going to pay their capital gains, and it gives you an opportunity to sell lots of your fund or all of your fund if you wanted to before that they go ex-dividend on a capital gain. So we track all of this. Yeah, so like between September and December, every mutual fund company will distribute what they call their capital gain estimates. So then we can go in our system. I have an actual spreadsheet where I can plug in every mutual fund that every one of our clients owns, and I know exactly what capital gain each fund's paying and when they're paying it and what day we need to sell by to avoid that capital gain distribution.
I think you guys – I've never heard of – I've been in the business
really?
47 years, and I've never heard any – I mean, I know about selling losses, but I've never heard of it. In that way, you know, I always look at the, you know, I'm like, I was just like Tom. I mean, I'd look at the gun and say, I can't do anything. So
it's for all legacy. It's for every legacy mutual fund, because that's the problem, is that a lot of people don't like mutual funds in non-retirement accounts now, because they're just, last year we had clients that literally, you know, there were funds that paid somewhere between a 10 to 20% capital gain last year. And for our high income or high net worth clients, they look at it and they're like, I'm getting just crushed with capital gains and crushed in taxes, and I'm at the highest tax bracket. So this is it's labor intensive, but we do it, and our clients really appreciate
think about,
it.
And you know,
I mean, think about, you know, you've got a 6% gain in the fund, and you're paying for a 20% capital gain. I mean, it's like ridiculous.
Yep.
You're paying for things that, you know, you might even have no gain, and you're still paying a capital gain.
Well, that's what it was last year, Rob. Think about it, because the markets were down last year. So all of them had, you know, were down, but yet they were going to get whacked with capital gains because the funds were selling stuff off during the year and generate a lot of capital gains, even though they had, you know,
they went
down in value.
They don't care. They're just after performance. And you get
so,
that's why they're pre-tax. They're all mutual funds, right? All mutual funds, they report on a pre-tax return standpoint. And then what we have found is a lot of our clients, you know, again, when they're in IRAs, it's a different story. But in non-retirement accounts, these mutual funds that people bought, you know, a decade or two ago, A-share mutual funds, and, you know, granted, they're not paying high fees on them anymore, but every year we're just seeing, you know, these funds are just, they're just killing you in taxes. So we've come up with some pretty interesting strategies to get out of some of those funds. And what we actually did last year, what Rick and I did, we got out of the funds. We got out of them for 31 days. We either took loss, we took on a lot of them, we took actual losses and avoided the capital gain, got out of the fund for 31 days, and then just got back into the fund 31 days later. So really, you know, the only risk is that, you know, a passive index, right? Let's say we sold an international fund. You know, we had losses on the international fund. We avoid the capital gain. The only opportunity cost is just that actively managed fund, the mutual fund, will outperform the market index, because we'll just buy an ETF like an international ETF to keep your exposure exactly the same for 31 days, and you're only potentially losing out on that 31-day window where the fund will outperform the index. And then you can jump right back into your index after 31 days, and it's not a wash sale.
So really, it worked well with Tom.
Yeah. And so he,
because his advisor never didn't tell him anything like that, and they executed it now, but they only did half. They only did the sell. They didn't do the corresponding. Again, I don't know what they did, if they did the corresponding buy at the same time, because last year it worked out like a champ because the markets were getting killed in December. You bought the stuff, and then, you know, they popped in January. So, like, everybody was just, you know, had the tax loss, but then had a big gain even on the ETF swap that we did because the markets went up in January. But
and that's the other big one that we do, Tom, or Rob, we do the – so if you have an ETF, the way that the tax laws are written, you know, ETFs these days, they might have pretty much the same exact underlying securities, but you can swap international ETF 1 for international ETF 2 to take tax losses at the end of the year, and you're literally just changing from one passive index to another that, you know, pretty much overlap, you know, 99% of the holdings. So that's another thing we'll do, which clients appreciate, where you keep your exposure exactly the same, but you're just, you know, banking some unrealized losses. Again, we did it last year for some international funds that were down last year. But other little tax strategies like that, just it shows you the attention to detail that it shows the clients really, you know, and that's what we did for this specific prospect, and they loved it.
So he loved it, and then
that's wonderful.
It just, yeah, so it really was, and we didn't know as much as they appreciated until that night when he talked about it.
Well, I think, you know, he's ready to get up and give a testimonial too, okay?
Yeah.
Thomas. I mean,
so next year.
But I mean, I swear to God.
Bob, that was your idea, which I give you total credit because that's what you said. Instead of me talking about, let somebody else talk about me. And then so, Sam, you know, and the other thing that, which I really appreciate, Sam, is he just talked about, he said, you know, I'm generally a positive person, and I, you know, he picked up on that and said that, you know, just really appreciate that about, that's the attractiveness of some of the stuff. But then what we were able to do for him was huge. But that opened the door, Rob. You know, as soon as Sam did that. But the other piece was, because a lot of this, we only, you know, we had 13 players, probably 10 were from last year and 3 new ones again this year. But everybody from last year connected in one way or another, even though they didn't know each other going in. And by this year, it's like they were like networked together. So one of the things that we did, I might have mentioned this to you, we did remember our last call? We did an attendee sheet. And what we put in, Dave grabbed pictures from the internet and everything. We put it together. So we put their picture, their name, their title of what they do, and their contact information. Because everybody enjoyed networking with each other. I mean, you wouldn't believe the crosstalk about different things. And get this, as it turns out, Tom's partner, the one who Clark knows, is getting ready to, you know, get out. Tom and Clark might be talking about combining.
Oh, wow.
Executive search. How about that? And they just met each other last year.
Well,
so,
you know what? Why not, right?
But it's crazy, Rob, how the tennis was the thing that brought us together, and that's what we talk about. And each one of us had that. Another guy.
Tom,
so we're having
be,
cocktail.
Anyway, Tom can be a. I mean, I told you that Tom can be a fabulous center of influence, and so can Clark. I mean, these guys. That's what they do.
They place executives.
They know CEOs. So when they say, "Hey, look, if you're, you know, at this stage of your life, you might think about getting somebody that's a little more sophisticated." Let me tell you about these guys that I work with. Boom. And, you know, that can be a goal. You don't need a lot of centers of influence that are important. You need a couple. And these two could be it. Anyway, go ahead.
It is nice. Now, what was I? So anyway, so oh, another guy who is a, I mean, this guy is an MD, PhD. He works at Children's Hospital Philly, at head of their cystic fibrosis. He teaches at Penn Medicine, all this stuff. So at cocktail hour, he said, Rick, he said, I just want to tell you how much I enjoy coming to this. He said, I was in my lab today, and I was telling, you know, these researchers, you know, I'm going to go play tennis this afternoon. Why? And he said, it's because of the obviously the tennis, but he said, just even the networking. And he's trying to teach his younger researchers, don't just sit in the lab. Get out there and meet some people. Because he found that, you know, there's funding opportunities, you know, there's all kind of stuff from the people that were, you know, we gathered together. But he said, Rick, he said, I'm going to be honest. He said, I'm not in a position to do anything right now. He said, I've had this advisor for years that my dad had and everything else, and he's up in, you know, New England somewhere. He said, but he's getting ready to, you know, once that happens. So he said, I'm not ready right now, but one of my closest colleagues here at Children's Hospital is, I think I'm going to ask them to speak with you because they're terminating the pension plan at CHOP. And Dave found this, like, and we actually sent this to Ron 2 weeks before our tennis.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a heads up, say, hey, we saw that, you know, Children's Hospital is terminating their pension plan, you know, and we knew he worked at CHOP. So we sent this to him and said, you know, if we can help in any way, you know, let us know. And he came back and said his pay is through Penn Medicine. It's not through CHOP. But he said, thanks for this information. But then he came to, you know, at the cocktail hour and said, Rick, my you know, he said, it's my closest colleague, and I'd like to have them talk with you guys. I said, absolutely, no problem. And so, I mean, it's like, Rob, you won't believe it.
Yeah. No, it's, look, you guys are good. What you're doing is getting out in traffic, and you're providing a great experience. And that's the game. So few people get in traffic. They sit.
Right.
They sit in their lab, and they expect their research to, you know, somebody's going to come in their research lab and give them money.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen. You got to get out. And tennis,
This is it. Yeah, so I'll tell you one more story then. So we went down to see Colony after with Sam Clark and I, because we were sponsoring the women's tournament. And there was no, I didn't see anybody from Wake there, so I couldn't get you anything. but one of the other guys from Sea Colony, who also lives in D.C. and works, he's the one that works for SoFi. He's their general counsel.
Yeah.
I invited him to the tennis, and unfortunately, he could not make it. He just had meeting scheduled, and he said, oh, man, I'm so sorry. So I said, no problem. I said, how about, you know, we take you and your wife out for dinner on Saturday night at Sea Colony? He goes, oh, we'd love that. And he's probably a year away from retiring, he said. And he said, they're probably not going to go public until 2021, but he's got a lot of equity in that in SoFi. But his wife is an executive recruiter at Korn Ferry, which is the large national firm, and she's in D.C. So I knew that the combination of Sam, you know, just doing his thing, and Rob would just connect, and Lorraine, the wife, and Clark. Well, it was – now, Dave could not come down because he was at a wedding. And so so it was the five of us. We were at this restaurant. First thing we do is we come in there, and there's a couple bottles of wine on the table. I'm thinking, what the hell is this going on? And all of a sudden, the waitress says, well, this was set up from Dave. So Mr. Dave here set us up with a couple nice bottles of wine for dinner, and all of a sudden, you know, we were – talking about him for sending these things to us, which was really a nice touch. And but the whole night, you know, we were there for 3 hours. We could have gone on for five. It was and I was telling, you know, the both of them that, you know, what I've done at Philly. And she even thought, she goes, Rick, that's brilliant. That's brilliant what you're doing for, you know, bringing these people together like that. So I'm hoping that that.
Yeah, she's a marketer, so she recognized how smart it was.
Oh God. So we are now, I want to repeat the same story to tell you this time next year. We have Rob and Lorraine as clients because now they'll be, he's going to be $20 million plus guy, if not more.
So
yeah.
Now, how are you going to connect this now with what goes on at is Longwood, right? Isn't it Longwood where you do it, the other one?
Yeah. Well, that's what we actually let Clark talk about what he does. So what we talked in how I went up to Longwood in last September. So I gave Clark the floor a little bit to explain what he does and invite everybody up. He didn't have the date yet, but we're going to see if we can get a group to go up there. And the other part is there was another guy, somebody brought another friend who has tennis in Anguilla, the island. And he has these luxury homes and stuff like that. And, oh, my God. So Clark and Sam are already all over that. They want to set up a trip to Anguilla now for tennis. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Go with it.
I know.
Go with it. Just do the whole thing. And you know, one of the things to do is if you can be the organizer, then you get credit.
Yeah.
I mean, so we don't know. Hesitate.
So, yes, maybe there'll be more in September with Longwood, more guys going up there.
Remember what I said is that busy people want access and they want other people to do things for them and they'll reward them for doing it. They don't have time to do it themselves. They regret when they don't do these things. And they really appreciate it when somebody makes their life easy for them. Okay? So you are organized the whole Anguilla thing and then and go and make it your trip, you know?
Yeah. Well,
you know,
February.
Yeah, it's just fun. It's fun, but then everybody becomes friends. Look, what you've done is what I understand needs to be done now. You need to make friends first, and then you do business. That's the key. People concentrate on getting business, and they have centers of influence, and they don't want to meet with them monthly. They just want the business, and I try and explain to them that it doesn't happen that way. It happens because you want to meet with the person on a monthly basis because they're a friend of yours.
Yeah.
And you have a lot in common and you go to dinner together and you play tennis, you play golf, you enjoy the other person, not because you want to get, because they are some special business person, but more because they're a friend first. And then you recognize that they're good at what they do and you want to give them business.
It does take time because some of these I've cultivated over many years, but this is speeding it up now. With Tom Beret, it's now boom, and I'm hoping with Rob and the other people. So,
now, why do you think it? Why do you think it goes faster?
One of the things is I think. By doing this, inviting Tom to this event, it's like even though we didn't ask for business, as Dave, you know, I think you might have, it's an implied, as you're saying, if somebody gives, you want to give back, reciprocate a little bit. You know, we put ourselves out there, and this is what we're doing. But it's friendships, trust, relationship first, and then that leads us to the business part.
Right.
So we're pretty much defining that.
What you're discovering is that you can become friends faster. You don't have to take 20 years to become friends. You can do it in 24 months. But there's got to be establishment of trust. And what you discovered was that when someone gives a testimonial, the trust is accelerated because they already trust the other person. Plus, they want to be in the, quote, in crowd. They want to be part of something special with people that all trust each other and are highly professional. And once they get into that, they relax and they feel like they can operate inside that womb of trust. And that's what you're creating, a little womb of trust that if you're let in, then it's everything inside there is safe.
Well, Tom actually said that. He said actually one of his friends, colleagues, or something else like that, when he heard about it, he goes, man, he'd love to be able to come to this. He goes, but I don't think he has enough money. You know, so that, I think they're getting the idea. We are only, you know, this is, yes, we're looking for A, for somebody that's a, you know, good tennis player. And I think, Dave, you could attest to that. It's a high quality.
Oh, yeah.
You know, everybody's a 4045 player. So we didn't have any, like, big, you know, drawdowns or somebody just, you know, being on the court. So it's a high level, you know, good level of tennis is the requirement. And, and I think it's implied. Oh, the other thing that Tom told Clark, actually, and Clark shared this with me, when he told him that he's going to be coming over to us, he said, you know, first of all, he didn't realize that they assumed UBS only handled people with, you know, $10 million and above and that we were expensive. And when we broke down our cost structure to Tom, he goes, oh, my God. You know, that's cheaper than I thought.
Right.
Yeah, I think he actually said to us, he's like, I figured you guys would be like, I would have to, you would charge like between like 1.5% and 2%. We're like, no, we don't charge that. We actually charge, you know, with your bigger relationships, you know, we charge less than 1%, you know, in some instances, substantially less than 1%. You know, for the service and the service model and obviously the investment advice and the planning. And he's like, wow, like, I'm just shocked. I just assumed that you guys probably were like 1.5% to manage money.
Yep.
So, I think there was a perception that it's either we're too expensive or we need too much money to work with us.
Yeah. So that's what those situations are for, to break down those false barriers. Because, you know, everybody is selling against you guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're inaccessible. You're too expensive. You're da-da-da-da-da. Come to me. I'm a local guy. Da-da-da-da-da-da. And you know, or you can do it yourself. You can just buy an index, you know. So that's what you're selling against. And so when you get – and it's one thing for you to say it, but it's like 10 times. It's a multiple of 10 when somebody else says it. It's like when I get up in a meeting. Let's say you call me and say, I want you to come, or the manager wants you to come and speak to our office. And I come and I introduce myself. Okay? Ridiculous. No credibility.
Right.
You stand up and Dave stands up. You two guys stand up and you tell them, okay, I'm going to tell you, I'll tell you quick about Rob's credentials, but now I want to tell you who he really is. And now you tell some stories, okay?
Yeah.
Now, what a difference, right?
Yeah.
Now they're really listening to what the hell I have to say.
Yeah.
And so that meeting goes from one where, oh, crap, you know, I'm either going to go to lunch or I'm going to listen to Rob, which is going to be more important.
Yeah.
And to, oh, wow, I don't want to miss this meeting. This is good. I got to pay attention here. And so that's what you get, see? They look at you differently then, and they listen differently. So...
We set the table, Rob, but I think it happened organically then. I mean, that's the nice part. Nothing was forced. You should have seen this group. This was a loose group, I mean, as far, but tight in a way. What I'm saying, loose. Everybody was comfortable.
A lot of ball busting going on.
But it was fun.
Look, this is your thing now, okay?
Yeah.
So think about having three events now, the Angula, this one, and and Longwood.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get all the same people, but when Clark can't make it, he's going to feel terrible, and he's going to want to help you some way, okay? Or somebody that gets invited can't make it, but they're going to feel like, oh. And then the other guys are going to say, you really blew it. This was so much fun.
It's that, it's that peer pressure. It's the peer pressure of you don't want to be the one left out or the one that's not enjoying it all the fun.
Exactly.
Actually, Rob, I have your cell. I'll just text you a couple pictures when we're done. I'll text you the group picture.
It's brilliant, okay?
We'll send you the list of participants and like the little marketing brochure that we put together for the event as well, so you could kind of just see what everyone received.
Last year, as a follow-up, the combination
is beautiful. I love the things back to back because it's kind of like an extension on a great event, and if you get invited. Extension, then you're really in the in crowd.
Yeah. But as it turns out, with a couple of the people, like I said, Rob and his wife now, and Tom and his wife, they're already at Sea Colony. That becomes our hub along with Clark and Sam. And then, again, making it special, that invitation to that dinner. You know, and I'm sure Rob and his wife told, everybody else knew that, hey, Rick and his, Sam and we went out for dinner last night, and it's like, oh my God, how do I get into that?
So tell me about Sam. What's going on?
So when I called him up about, I called him just with the intention of asking him to, say something at our dinner. And as it turns out, we think we told you before, he's been being recruited for a number of CEO positions. And he was coming down to two of them that were pretty, closing stages. But he said literally that, so when I talked to him last week, he said, Rick, this is happening very quickly. He said somebody contacted him literally 3-4 weeks ago and thought he was going to be a great candidate for this. And he said, I was up front with him. I said, look, I'm already in, the end stages, and I don't think I want to get involved with, dragging this out because the other two are ready for an offer. But he said the other person on the board of this other company said, no, Sam, we could fast track this. He said, we identified you, and we really see that you're the one that we believe is more than qualified to take us public. So anyway, whirlwind, they met with the board, met with the founders of this company, and literally Thursday was the day that the board was going to vote on Sam, the day before he was coming to our event. And I said, Sam, you know what? It's one of those things. I said, look, if it's meant to be, and I said, but everything feels right about this. But it's going to come down if those founders wanted to give up control to Sam as the CEO and if he was comfortable. Anyway, so they voted that morning on Thursday, and it was unanimous. They offered Sam that on Thursday afternoon, right before he was catching a plane to come here. He's accepting the position as a CEO of another new startup. He's got a great package as far as salary, bonus, and equity. He's going to literally start in July. And he had the full backing of Homology's people, Homology's board. He was transparent throughout, and they all backed him. They actually gave the recommendation. So it was. I can't believe how open it was. And so he's going to start in a couple months. So we're actually – so that was one of the things we're having discussions at dinner. Clark was saying, Rick, you better have Sam sell all that stock and get out of his Homology. And then Lorraine and Rob were talking about, because Rob was involved with Sally Mae early in his career and it pretty much went out. And so Lorraine's view is, you take out all the money when you can get it and all this other stuff. I said, Rick, what are you going to do with Sam? I said, hey, that's between Sam and I. We're going to be discussing. We're going to protect him. That's all I know. And so he's going to have his stock will become available when he leaves, his vested portion. And that's, what is it, Dave, 200, 250,000 shares, something like that?
Yeah, it's about roughly $5 million of the stock, which
the stock, as you see, Bob, has come down because it looks like on Monday they did their 10b5-1. They each sold a little bit of the stock. We're going to have that discussion with Sam about how we're going to protect him and hedge him.
There's been no other. It's just because it's thin, right? There's been no news.
Right. Nope.
Right.
They're in their clinicals. I think they had the FDA gave them some kind of a fast track, so I don't think anything has changed along that. It's a very thinly traded stock. Right. There's nothing going on.
So it's just sellers. Yeah. It goes from 18,
right.
19 to 40 back to 18, 19 because there's a few sellers in the market.
Now they did raise some money on a secondary a month or two ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so that was 20 or 21.
That brought it down to 21, 22.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's nothing wrong. And we're going to have more conversations with Sam now, really what he, because I think it's going to come down what he believes in the stock, how much he wants to, participate on some upside in this. But that'll be a conversation we'll have. But then he's going to start over again in July. He showed me the timeline of what they're working on, and he wants to do it again, go public in like 2.5 years. And, he said the team of people, the backing of the board, the people that are investing in this company, he said it's fantastic.
Wonderful.
And Sam is a very detailed person. He knows exactly what he said is hitting on every one of them. And it was like one of those natural things. It just came together, not being forced.
You can be his right hand person in all advice here, right? Will he use you a lot?
That's what we're going to try to do.
Yeah, I would really try and be there for him as much as you possibly can. In terms of taking a look at the pension plan, doing everything.
Right.
Taking a look at his deal, looking at his stock, figuring out what's the best way to do it and everything. So I think that's brilliant. And your boys then, your recruiters are going to see there's action here. And, this is a pretty hot area. Well, it's just wonderful. It's kind of a dream come true because it doesn't take many Sams to make, I remember when there was a guy in Atlanta who worked for a big guy down there that owned CNN that you might remember. And he ended up working for him. And and now he's huge in Atlanta. This FA it's amazing. And
This is good, but honestly, Rob, and that's so I was telling Clark, because Sam had a run, so Clark and I, we were just sitting around, and I was telling him how I work with a business coach, and I was telling him about you. And I told him how this came together. Now, some of it, though, we borrowed from Clark. That was his, about this grass court tennis. But I think through your, framing and just, saying, let's do it. And it kept us on track, and we executed it. And I couldn't have imagined, Rob, when we were planning this a year and a half ago, thinking that it would be like this. It's like, holy shit. this was better than we could have anticipated.
Well, Rick, it's, when I called you to interview you for my book, and you said, I've been thinking about you today.
Right.
I think this was it was supposed to be. You were supposed
it was
to
meant,
call me.
Bob, I agree. It was meant to be. And I think we are coachable.
You are.
And we,
you're very coachable.
Look, we're not perfect. We put them in motion, and it's the thing is about Rob, it's been so much fun doing. That's the mix.
Okay, so mentally, guys, I want you to think about you being connectors. When you're sitting there going, what should we do next? I want you to think, my job is to be a connector. Okay? So, because sometimes we get stuck in how do we get business instead of how can we connect people? It, basically, the idea is how can we give? You can think of so many different ways to give. It's hard to think about how am I going to get. It's easy to give, right? You can give all the time. So you're givers, right?
And I had this conversation with Clark, and I told him about your giving to give instead of giving to get, and Clark got it right away.
Yeah. And so what you want to do is think, okay, how can we get the right people involved, make this special? How can we give more to these people to make their experience even better? So just taking everything up another notch. And the good thing about, let's just theoretically say three deals, right? And maybe it's not Angula, maybe it's, you know, another fabulous tennis club in New York or something. It's okay that not everybody makes every trip. You're going to have different people make different trips. But what you do is you'll get a multiplier effect because what you're doing is creating more activity. So by having the two events, you have more of activity than one event, right?
Right.
And then, so it just works because I know what I like, and I know how, you know, we only know how our own brain works, right? So I know what I like, and when I'm invited to a special place with a special group of people, I really like it, okay? And I'll go. Now, when I was working, it was harder to get me to go. But I will go now because I have time. So you find people that are really busy, CEOs, they have no time. So if you arrange everything, but you basically guarantee it's going to be a fabulous time, they'll take the time to go.
Yeah.
Right. But you just make it so easy for them. That's the key. That's the key. Make everything easy for them. And then, and take care of the dinners and take care of everything. Just make sure everything goes smoothly. So you're kind of a facilitator for them to meet people like them. So I would meet with these guys. I would meet with Tom and meet with Clark and talk about marketing. How do we, Tom, you now know what we can do. You know how good, he's already said yes. So just assume he's going to be a car. So now talk to him about, okay, Tom, how do we market what you now see as the value that we bring? How would you suggest that we meet the people that we should meet? And just let him brainstorm. He's a marketer.
Yeah.
Okay. You haven't done that, right?
No.
And we talked about that. I talked to you about doing that. And so I want you to now actually do it.
All right.
And Clark's in the same business, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I want you to meet with them separately, and I want you to do this. And you two guys together. Dinner, lunch, whatever. And I want you to brainstorm, and I want you to, because this is good for them too. See, they can invite their prospects, and their prospects are your prospects.
And well, let's see where it goes from here, Rob. Let's see where it goes.
Well, tennis is a great venue, right?
I love it. It's fantastic.
And, right. So maybe you take in, you know, maybe you take in Forest Hills and you do, maybe there's something other than the U.S. Open. Maybe it is the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
I don't know. But those are, you know, anyway, we're kind of running out of time. But
yeah, we're running out of time. I got to jump too. But this was, I'm telling you, I want to thank you for the ideas, the inspiration and all that stuff and helping us walk it through because, you know, this was text. This was classic. You couldn't have written a better script about last weekend.
Well, okay, so here's what you can do for me. Let's set up something with Emily where you can get up and without divulging what exactly what – nobody can do what you're doing, okay? So forget about it. Don't worry about somebody stealing your idea because they can't, all right? So but let's get Emily to have a meeting and talk about the value of coaching and what we can do. Okay,
yeah.
And you don't even have to do it in your office. Do it in a different office or do it someplace where you don't think there's competition or whatever. But,
right.
You know, let's not keep me a secret, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't make sense, right, when we can help other people. And not everybody, just one other good team is, you know, I'm only interested in people like you. So I'm interested in givers that you guys would like, and that, and let me tell you, it doesn't hurt you ever to have your brand as a star in your own organization. Okay? People think, well, I don't want to share this. You know, it's a gold mine. But think of the value of management and everybody else thinking you're a star. Then they're going to refer business to you, and other people associated with the firm are going to think of you as a star, and they're going to refer business to you. So anytime you can be a star is a good thing.
Nah, we'll take it. So all right, so we will talk. We are going to skip July because I think we both have conflicts on those couple weeks. So. We're just going to go right to August now. I was with Lori on yesterday, so we're just going to skip the July one.
Good, good. All
right. So we'll give you updates. We should have something by Tom by then, too.
Yeah. Email me any good news. I'm always they used to call me when I was working. They used to call me Dr. Good News. All I wanted was good news.
Well, I forwarded you to your email. I just forwarded you our the kind of the thank you email we sent out with the marketing and participation list, so you'll get the chance to look at that.
Well, I'm still working on the, you know, I'm still involved with the college tennis and all these kids and their, you know, I'm still trying to figure out how to best leverage that for you guys. So I'd love to figure out a connection there because, you know,
right.
You're the advisor to the stars as far as tennis is concerned.
Hey,
I'm serious. I'm serious.
Right.
I have no problem referring you guys to anybody that I would know that you know turns pro or anything. But I need I need to get one level more involved, and then I'll be there.
All right.
Awesome.
So,
good stuff.
Okay.
Great. All right, Robin. Next year we're gonna get you to Philly Cricket next year.
Yeah, I'm kind of upset at myself, but it we're moving.
Right.
We're actually physically the movers come tomorrow. We've been moving. We've been running. We've been buying a place. I bought my brother a condominium. I bought myself a condominium in Nashville. We're moving to Nashville from Indy, so it's been kind of
mental.
So.
All right, sure. But anyway. All right, we'll send. I'm gonna send you some pictures too, Rob.
All right, wonderful. Thanks a million, guys.
All right,
congratulations.
Take care.
Nice.
Thanks.
Bye.